I ask you, what is so special about the crucifixion of a homeless Jewish rabbi? After all, Rome crucified their conquered people on a regular basis. Some of you in this room are old enough to remember the movie, 1960 movie, Spartacus. Won a couple, 4 Academy Awards, directed by Stanley Kubrick, and it told the true story of a Roman slave who leads a slave revolt against the empire. This revolt took place 100 years before Jesus and ended in a final bloody battle in which the slaves were defeated. But empire is never satisfied with just winning the war, because it also wants everyone to know the cost of resisting empire. So along the 130-mile Appian Way, stretching from Rome over, heading towards Naples, empire crucified 6,000 followers of Spartacus. They said that was one cross every 40 yards. 36 years after Jesus, the empire finally had enough of the Jewish rebellion and crucified so many Jews they ran out of wood and had to send for more. Crucifixion is not just about killing, but it's about shaming. It shouts to the world, empire is everything, and you and your pitiful country with its strange customs and alien religion are nothing. Absolutely nothing. So 2,000 years later, why do we gather to retell the story of this one crucified Jew? You might say, well, that's because Jesus is a special Jew. And you'd be right, and I'd say, but special how? Well, he's the Messiah, the Word made flesh, Emmanuel, God with us. But think about that. Do we really want to say that it's God with us hanging on the cross? We were taught that God is the omni-God, you know, omnipotent, omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient. How does such a God get killed and shamed by empire? And who would want to follow such a failed God? I mean, crowds then and now follow power and fame. Oh, yes, let's join the Jesus parade as he enters the city to take on empire. Past the palm branches. Isn't it exciting? And it's such a pretty day. But then the tables turn, don't they, when it becomes clear Jesus will be the scapegoat for the religious and political leaders. A nation is unified when there is someone or some group to scapegoat for its problems. Fear and hate are great and quick ways to unify people who have been made afraid. Jesus is the scapegoat that will calm down empire and unify the people. Even Peter, as he sees this shift from Savior to scapegoat, drops his palm branches and says, I do not know the man. The crowd sees the shift. They drop their palm branches and we cry out, crucify him, crucify him. Who wants to worship a God who suffers and fails? All our prayers are for success and healing. We want a successful God, not a dead Jew hanging naked in the sun. N.T. Wright insists, though, in every book of the New Testament, it's clear that when Jesus of Nazareth dies on the cross, something happens as a result of which the world is a different place. And theologians, right from millennia, have devised theories to explain why this should be the case, why this death, of all the deaths, makes a difference. But the Gospels do not give us theories. They give us stories, told in simplicity with minimal drama. They don't go into detail like some of you remember The Passion of the Christ, Mel Gibson's movie, which shows exactly how the spikes go into his hands and feet. Mark spends much more time talking about the verbal abuse that Jesus receives. At the crucial moment, Mark only says, "And the soldiers crucified Jesus and divided his clothes among them, casting lots to decide what each should take." The verbal abuse continues all day, revealing how we humans love to attack those who are suffering. Why do we spit on the broken and hurting? What sickness in our soul causes us to ridicule those suffering so profoundly? And then Jesus cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Every Jew hearing this cry would instantly recognize this is the first verse of Psalm 22, which starts with this cry of utter desolation. But 28 verses later, a note of faithfulness and triumph is heard. It reads, "My soul shall live for God. My descendants shall live for God, and they shall be known as Yahweh's forever." But Jesus isn't just reciting a poem. He is inhabiting it. He enters the depth of human God-forsakenness to make visible, so we can finally see it, the depths of the sin that make human beings capable of committing such a crime, and at the same time revealing the depths of his Abba's love, that he would dare take on that suffering. One theologian puts it this way: God feels us as we feel ourselves. Think about that. God feels us as we feel ourselves, even including those depths that we do not allow into conscious feeling. God feels that. And God's full openness to who we are involves God in the pain of who we are, symbolized most profoundly in the revelation of God in Jesus on a cross. The deepest thing we can say about God is not God's power, but God's sacrificial love. God in Christ reveals God's identification with us in our sin, our pain, our death, which become the ground and means of our salvation. And then Mark says, "Jesus gave a loud cry and breathed his last, and the temple of the curtain was torn in two from top to bottom." And so now we can look inside the holiest place on the planet and see that it's empty. God is not in there. If God isn't in the holiest place of the nation, where is God? This is what we always ask, isn't it, in a tragedy, and rightfully so. When 17 students and teachers are killed in Parkland, Florida, we cry out, "Where is God? Where is God?" The centurion overseeing the killing for empire sees how Jesus dies and says, "Truly this man was God's son." You know, it's typical of the Gospels that the outsiders reveal and receive and realize the truth before the insiders. So the palm parade takes us to the cross. And from there we join those sad few who walk to the grave, where we bury all our hope. We bury our hope in Jesus, our hope in God. We even bury our hope that empire, with all its systems of wealth and power and control, could somehow save us. 3 days later, the broken community is cowering in the upper room when the scapegoat appears and commands the church to go out into the world to free the slaves of empire and proclaim and live the commonwealth of the crucified God. And that's why, 2,000 years after all these things, we're still telling the story of this one crucified Jew who is God with us. Amen.